And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
And just like that, it's Friday afternoon again. How did that happen?
Good afternoon. How are we?
Really well. It's like just, you know, the week has gone by in a bit of a blur, hasn't it? Because we had, on Tuesday, we had the Melbourne Cup excitement. On Wednesday, we had the US presidential election excitement. It's been one thing after another, and it's all been a great sort of galloping blur. Even yesterday, we had the newly re-elected Labor ACT government announcing their new cabinet. Yeah, I know, right?
That one must have slipped past to the keeper.
I knew you'd be keeping close tabs on that. You'll be pleased to know that Andrew Barr, the Chief Minister, is no longer the Treasurer.
Oh, that's a win.
He's handed that over to Chris Steele.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Well, some would say maybe not.
Right.
Well, but time will tell. Yeah. It's a good thing they've separated it, Chief Minister and Treasurer. But anyway, that's not why we're here. We are here to talk about Donald Trump, though, apparently.
The Trumpster. Yeah. Yes.
Because your topic today... You've posed the question, how could Donald Trump in the White House impact your investment portfolio?
Yeah.
And even before the election, there was a lot of people writing a lot of things about this very topic, and some suggesting that Trump's policies, should he deliver on what he's promised, could adversely affect the US economy, the world economy, could impact on Australia's economy. But there's a lot of uncertainty, I suppose, isn't there?
Look, and I think that's exactly the premise of today, is it's been very topical. Everybody's got an opinion. And like any news flow, you can read good, you can read bad, you can read on the fence.
Yes.
And all I want people to take from today is to actually keep in mind that he's just the guy steering the boat. He's not making all the rules. He can't force everything through. He can say a lot of stuff to get elected. And whether you like him, don't like him, it's irrelevant. Because there's a process, like any political system, where things need to be voted, things need to be approved. And I guess I want people to keep in mind that don't start dancing at shadows or reacting to things that are said that are not law. And I have the same view here. One of the parties could say, oh, we'll give you a tax cut. The other party goes, no, we won't. But until it gets royal assent, it's nothing. And I think that's where people now come in the office and, oh, what about Trump? And I've had people ring up and go, sell everything, sell everything. I've had some clients go, sell everything, like end of October. Sell it, Trump, Trump, Trump.
No. Now, well, look, you know, the day of the election victory, guess what happened on Wall Street?
100%.
Up by more than 1,000 points.
And I've been saying it because it happened in 2016.
Yeah.
And this is what people need to keep in mind. Trump is pro-business, right, which is generally pro-market.
Yes.
Now, there are a raft of things that people need to keep in mind as an aside to the guy steering the boat. Yes, there's influence. Yes, there's an ability to put through things. Yes, there's a big talk on tariff. Okay, if he starts tariffing all sorts of countries, are the cost of things going to go up? Yes. In the same breath, he also says, I'm going to drop the corporate tax rate. Is that good for business? Yes. Is it bad with a longer term view in certain situations? Potentially. But it's great incentive for people to then go and set something up in America in a similar way to Ireland saying that there's all these tax cuts back in the day for the tech companies.
Yes.
You know, now, did that stay great forever? No, it didn't. Is a tax cut from a corporate perspective great for everybody? No, not necessarily. Is it great for US assets and earnings of US companies? Yeah, potentially, for sure. But what people need to keep in mind is no one has 100% of their portfolio in US stocks. Generally, you don't have everything in one sector. And that is one of the key reasons that asset allocation and diversity is really, really important. Because Trump has been good for markets. Trump has been good for business. And outside of your personal view of his policies, beliefs, and what his party says, if you've got a well-diversified portfolio, there are other headwinds that you need to keep in mind. Markets were going really, really well prior to Trump getting into power. And he doesn't take over until January.
That's right. Yes, it's January 20, I think it is the inauguration.
That's it. So
there's a lot of water yet to flow under the bridge. But the initial signs are that the market likes it.
100%.
Even the Australian share market was up a little yesterday, up even more today.
Yep.
And it's closed today up by more than 0.8%. So it's, you know, it's holding up. And there might be concerns about international trade as time goes by, but we don't know yet exactly what Donald Trump is likely to do with tariffs. He's made some suggestions about what he may do, and that may come to pass. But as you say, there might be other decisions that are also made that counterbalance that.
That's right. Another thing we need to keep in mind is markets were good before Trump got in.
Yeah.
We've had a stellar period in the Aussie market. We've had an amazing run in the US market. So we can't say that it's good just because of Trump. You look at inflation and interest rates in America, they've already had a 50 basis point cut.
Yes.
They're talking about cutting more. You've also got to remember that the 10-year bond rate in America is at record levels. Now, here was a fun stat that will melt most people's brains driving down the parkway. Their debt is increasing by $1 trillion roughly every 100 days.
Wow.
Now, if he comes in and starts doing A, B, and C, and a ton of spending occurs and that debt continues to rise, we're getting to levels now where 10-year bond rates are at, you know, very, very high levels, which is saying, hang on, we're starting to become really concerned about our capacity to service this debt. And if we're going to invest in America over the longer term, we want a little bit more return, because we need to keep in mind that if a bond yield goes up, if it goes from 4 to 4.6, that means the value of it from a capital perspective is going down. So if what that's saying is it's becoming a riskier place to invest because of the amount of debt they carry. They've got to take a huge amount of what they produce to service that debt. And the cost of printing money is getting more and more expensive. Now, if they've got more debt requirement, they've got more servicing cost, that leaves less money for social systems, hospitals, and other stuff. So people need to keep in mind that all of these different economic factors are always bubbling away in the background, and they're either good or they're bad, and they're changing with the environment.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep in mind that you may not invest in certain areas that come under pressure. A good example could be he's pro-fracking, he's pro-drilling, he's pro-oil. He's sort of anti-green. So you would think that the areas that he's pro are going to benefit from a change in policy, an injection of cash, and a change in legislation. If you're green, oh, not great. Now, that's not to say it's bad, but with diversity, you can limit the impact of a positive or negative movement on your portfolio, because nobody likes to see increased volatility because of legislative change. And that's why I stress to people, you don't want to be potentially all in. You don't really want to be all out. Because as we've seen, markets rally, you've got no skin in the game. That's going to be expensive. If you poured all your money in and he does make some changes later in the year and it goes against certain sectors you're invested in, prices can come back. Now, if you invest cautiously over time, that could be a great way to then have a nibble and buy more of what you already have or diversify a particular area because it's come under pressure.
Yeah, and you mentioned, of course, that nobody has all their assets in US shares. In fact, as Australians, most of us don't have much in US shares or international shares. Most of us have most of our investments in Australian asset products, don't we?
Well, you'd be surprised, right? So if you're in an industry fund in the balanced option,
right,
whatever that means, you will probably have between 25 and 35% in offshore assets.
Yeah.
So you're going to have an exposure to the US, you're going to have exposure to Europe and a number of other countries depending on the allocation of the fund that you're in. My point is that if you're going to make those choices, and I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, he was 100% Aussie and he had a particular reason for doing that. Great, he had a philosophy. But I would urge people to consider diversification, because the Aussie market from November to November, let's say the ASX 200 did 15%, okay? The US market November to November has done mid-35s,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's a great illustration of diversification, because as part of a global market, we are like a pebble in the ocean. You know, there are companies on the US stock exchange that are larger than our entire country's GDP.
Yes.
Which is unfathomable, but that's the reality of the size of the globe and the integrated nature of broader economics now. So having diversity and having the ability to buy over time. If you've got new money, you've just retired, you're looking to do something, think about dollar cost averaging. Think about buying some of what you like and then adding to it over time, either mechanically, i.e. I'm going to invest every month this much into it, or buy half of what you like and then buy things when it comes back. Our banking system's a great example. Big fan of CBA, big fan of Macquarie Bank. Not a massive fan of CBA at 145. Big fan of it at 100. Probably be a bigger fan of it at 120. My point is, if you're going to hold $100,000 of it in your portfolio as part of a broader total, you might buy half and then sit out and just wait, because you need to remember, why am I buying it? And more importantly, what is it doing for me? Because if you buy CBA at the moment at 145, you're not getting the amazing yield that banks have provided for many, many years because of the price of the stock.
Yes.
Okay, because the yield is earnings into the share price. So if the share price has rallied, the yield you're getting falls. So you might want to buy some so you're not out altogether, because it could go to 200 and you've missed out. But if you've got half in and it rallies, okay, you've got some skin in the game. That's why I stress to people, investing everything in one go at the top of historical prices is dangerous, but also sitting out and being too cautious is also just as dangerous, because you may wait for a pullback that doesn't come. And we've seen both sectors, Australia and America, be very strong over a number of years and provide some wonderful returns. And people need to keep in mind that the annual return they've got now is not a normal return. You know, if your portfolio has done 20, 22%, which is sort of what a 70-30 mix of assets is doing November to November, 6 to 8% is an average return for that risk profile over time. So you've probably had 2 or 3 years return in 1 year. So if for the next 12 months it was relatively flat or went sideways, don't be upset. You've been rewarded. And you need to keep that in mind. You can't have a goldfish-like mentality of, oh, we'll do that next year. Nah, probably not. But the US is forecasted to provide a double-digit return, which is fantastic. So you need to have that diversity and the ability to build a portfolio over time, because people need to keep in mind, Trump is in for the next 4, but you're going to be retired for the next 30. So it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And if it takes you 12 or 18 months to get a portfolio set at really good entry prices, so be it. We're being rewarded now for cash at 4 and 5%. It's not like we saw for a decade at 1 or 2. So fixed interest isn't the enemy.
Yes.
So again, I'd stress that diversification piece and being patient, because he's not going to tip the world on its head. Fingers crossed, economically. But let's see what we say in 6 months.
Well, that's exactly right. One of the features of Donald Trump's character is that he can be a little bit unpredictable at times.
Yeah, and I think people can't leap to the news. Just because he says it doesn't mean it's law. It also doesn't mean it's going to happen. So keep that in mind.
Well, plenty there to consider. Will Donald Trump impact your investment portfolio one way or the other, and how can you protect against that? We've covered a fair bit of territory on this one, haven't we? What are the key things that we need to remember about the potential impact of Donald Trump?
Yeah, look, I think you can have good and bad in any market and in any sector for a range of different reasons, and people need to keep in mind that diversification is the key. Don't have all your eggs in one basket. Try not to have massive overexposures in individual stock. You can have too much of a good thing, because if it does turn on you, it'll have a significant impact on the value of your assets. And that may influence not just how you feel, but decisions that you make. I can't retire now because that's collapsed, the value's come down. And we saw that behavioural change, or that emotional connection through COVID, where people came in and said, well, I can't retire now because of COVID. And I used to say to people, you're going to spend it all in 12 months? Well, no. So if we've got a year's worth of money in the bank and things recover, oh, okay, I can still retire? Yeah. So people tie decisions to their emotions, and they tie emotions to things that may not have happened. Remember, he can say whatever he wants. Until it's law, it's not going to change what happens. And it has to get voted through. They've got a House of Reps. They've got a Senate. There's a system and a process. So react to changes of law. Don't react to noise. Keep in mind that, you know, tariffs and rate cuts have a good knife edge and a bad knife edge. And depending on where you're invested, it may not be the horrible issue that you are. There are a number of economic issues that have been around and will continue to be around. Inflation, interest rates, the debt levels they have are astronomical. China, they've been good, bad and indifferent and a real sort of swimming pool of change for quite a while. Him coming in doesn't change the underlying issues that are there with their property market, their debts and their slowing economy. Bond yields are increasing. The cost of funding debt in America is up. You know, it's things are more than just about Trump. You've got to keep things in perspective from a global standpoint, because each of these economic events or economic conditions, considerations, if you like, have their own merit and their own problems. So, you know, we've seen inflation slow here. We've seen cash come up. We've seen interest rates rise. Now they're talking, you know, next year, is there a rate cut? Is there one? Is there two? Markets are looking forwards. Markets aren't really worried about what's happening right now. They're looking down the road to say, okay, well, what could happen in 12 months and how do we react to that? So a rate cut early next year, one's probably priced into the market, potentially two. Now, do we see them? Maybe, maybe not. But we don't sit on the sideline in totality. As I said before the ad break, being fully invested with new money, buying in at record highs can be dangerous. Sitting out and waiting for the perfect times for things to pull back can be dangerous. And we've just seen markets rally strongly just because Trump got in. Nothing's changed economically underneath. It was just a change in the news flow. And we've seen that with other things like inflation numbers. Oh, we thought they'd be this, they were that. Markets fall. What happens? Markets come back. So keep things in perspective, be well diversified, average into new sectors, understand where your money's invested, and look to buy on weakness to add to areas that you like, but try not to have an all-inclusive belief of 100% in or 100% out, because being too slow and too fast, as I say in the office, can be just as dangerous as each other.
And always remember, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, it's only another 4 years. What could possibly go wrong? Where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, office number 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. We've got the strategy stacker, Luke Talks Money, in iTunes and Spotify. We've got the strategy stacker on the Tiki Talker. We've got a Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning. And I must say, wonderful feedback from last week's show. I've had numerous Zoom meetings this week and people have had the software upgraded, updated, cameras working, mics working. Last week's show has been wonderful. So keep up that change of behaviour into Christmas and everybody will stay friends.
Indeed they will. Luke, thanks very much for joining us today.
See you next week.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial will be back with us again at the same time to talk finance matters once again.